Our scripture reading this evening is found in John 14. John 14, our text words are from verse 21, but at this time I'd like to read the entire chapter. So this is the start of the upper room discourse. The final week of the Lord's earthly life before the cross. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. Now how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father, for for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Beloved, with today being celebrated by many in our culture as Valentine's Day, there's much talk of love. The word love is thrown around, and especially the emotion, the sometimes infatuation, sometimes the physical side is mentioned and meant as we hear this word love. And there is all these different sides to our relationships. But tonight I'd like to speak about the greatest love, the most important love, the most profound love that should mark our lives. And this isn't infatuation, this isn't mere sentiment, this isn't a feeling, but this is a deep heart affection for the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you love. And if I ask you to describe this love, dear believers, that you have for Christ, sometimes it can be hard to put it into words. But you know that you love him. You know that you delight in him, that he is precious to you, that he's altogether lovely. Thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee, O Lord, is sometimes where your heart rests, where your explanation resorts to. And no one can take that away. In our verse for tonight, we have a test for this love, a test of this love for Christ that is given. And I hope and pray that by the grace of God, we would see, even when we can't enunciate, we can't articulate what it is, this love for Christ that believers have, that we would be able to say, look at my life. Look at the decisions. Look at the longings. Look at the patterns that have formed. Patterns of obedience. Patterns of enjoyment, of union and communion with Christ. A pattern of dwelling upon Christ as the revealer of love. And what I hope to see, what I hope to show, is that love for Christ is towards Christ in many different ways. But tonight, we'll see his law as precious. We love him as lawgiver. We see his relationship to the Father as precious. He is the only begotten Son. We see that his working the experience of love in the soul is precious. So with God's help, we're meditating on John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Our theme is love for Christ, tested and confirmed. Love for Christ, tested and confirmed. Firstly, Christ is lawgiver. Christ is lawgiver. Secondly, Christ is the only begotten Son. And thirdly, Christ is the revealer of love. So love for Christ is tested. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And what we see here is not just the fact that those who are truly Christ's people will obey him. That is true. We have seen that in verse 15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Verse 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And so we can start to think, well, if we just do certain things, well, then we can show our love for Christ. But this isn't all. It is true. By their fruits you shall know them. But we love Christ as the lawgiver. Dear believers, it's not just in rote obedience to a set of commands that are impersonally given, but we love him who can say, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them. Not just the Decalogue, the Ten Commandments given at Sinai, but the commandments as Christ confirmed them, as Christ upheld them, as Christ unfolded their depth and spirituality. Mark Johnston, in his commentary or his book, Let's Study John, writes this: the verse is just as much a statement of fact as it is an expression of obligation. In other words, Jesus is not merely saying that true love for him is seen in obedience to him, though that is undoubtedly true, but that true obedience to him is enabled by virtue of a new and loving relationship with him. True obedience to him is enabled by virtue of a new and loving relationship with him. So Christ is the lawgiver, whom we delight to obey. They are his commandments, received from him. Beloved congregation, Christ as lawgiver is loved by his dear people. And how is this? Well, it's in a few different ways. The first is that in the light of Christ, we understand the depth of our sinfulness. The fact that Christ has taken this law and shown its depth and its spirituality has led to an exposing, not just of outward nonconformity, but of inward pollution and depravity. He that hath my commandments, these commandments have done a work of opening the heart to the vileness and to the depravity that is within. And yet, remember, this is not to condemn, but to strip us down, to leave us without an escape route. Christ, through his Spirit, uses the law to empty us of our so-called righteousness, worthiness, acceptance. Not to bring us to despair, to hopelessness, but to bring us to a point of crying out for mercy and confessing these sins that he has exposed. So Christ is lawgiver, and we love him as the one who won't let us continue establishing our own righteousness, who won't let us continue to try to use the covenant of works to achieve a standing before God. We see Christ as the lawgiver carrying out this capacity with the woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. He exposes the self-righteousness of those who were going to stone her. We're watching Christ for what he would do. But he convicts them. Let him who is without sin cast the first stone. And they leave. He says, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. So Christ, as the lawgiver, is loved as the one who does this stripping down, this exposing, this emptying. His commandments drive us from any hope of establishing our own righteousness. Dear ones, perhaps you've experienced it when the law is doing a work, but you try to keep the law, you try to improve upon your obedience, and you find more death, more hopelessness. But then Christ applies the law in its depth to expose you, say it's not in your own self. You have nothing. Do you love Christ for his work of showing you your sin? It's painful. It hurts to the very core of our being because we're driven from ourselves. But it's good for us. It's most necessary. But a second way that we see Christ as lawgiver is that he is the one who embodied, who carried out these commandments. They are his commandments, not just because he gives them, but because he has lived them. He has embodied them. They were his way of action, his way of carrying himself. He absolutely, fully obeyed the law. They are his commandments. We call this his active obedience. Beloved congregation, this is a reason we love Christ as lawgiver. because he doesn't give something that is separate from himself, but he gives that which is in complete conformity and agreement with his character. He that hath my commandments. These commandments were perfectly lived out by the incarnate Son of God. He obeyed his Father, and his Father loved him. And he can say, my children, my people, those who love me will obey me, and I will love them. These commandments are a personal picture of Christ's obedience. Again, he fulfilled them completely. This is the beauty of his life, the depth of love to God and love for neighbor with all that he was. The spirituality of it was fully embodied in every action. Christ is loved as the one who perfectly obeyed. And dear ones, this is something that believers also love of Christ. He is not one who commands a certain obedience while himself not performing that obedience. He has performed it perfectly. The act of obedience to Christ, the act of obedience of Christ is a reason to love him. Somebody on their deathbed could say, when it was asked of them, what's your hope in getting ready to appear before God? I am thankful for the act of obedience of Christ. And then we have a third thing. Christ as lawgiver. He that has my commandments and keeps them. Isn't that an amazing thing? That can be added and keeps them? We would say from our perspective that would be hopeless. To have the commandments would be a blessing, and to know that Christ has kept them to the absolute uttermost is another blessing. But to say that someone such as I am could keep them, never perfectly, but could have it as the desire of our heart, the direction of our life. Oh, to keep Christ's commands, to love each other, which was the new command that he gave, but to also receive the moral law and strive in the way of obedience by keeping. Jesus isn't saying here that the believer initiates a relationship of love by demonstrating obedience and that Jesus and his Father simply respond. Far from it. Jesus is the initiator. He takes the initiative. He reveals his commandments, his way of love, and he works this keeping in hearts and lives. So the believer loves Christ as lawgiver. Let me just apply this to three different classes of people. First of all, there are people who don't want to be so serious, so regimented in the way of obedience. Why is it that important? Avoid legalism. You have a relationship, and that's enough. What can we say to these people who look a little lighter on the call to obey, the call to keep Christ's commands? I would say that perhaps they need to understand the depth of sin at work, perhaps even in them. Because where there is an easygoingness with regard to obedience, there could be unconfessed, unaware sin that's still deep within. They're glossing over the exposing work needs to take place, where they become absolutely dependent on God. Their lives are absolutely confronted with His holiness, and they can't continue with an easygoing Christian life. It becomes more serious, more searching, more central for them to love Christ not merely as a professed Savior, but as a lawgiver. But then there's other groups of people, those who are living very upright lives, those who are striving to do their utmost. And what a blessing this can be. But it's my prayer that such would be doing so out of love to this lawgiver, not competing against Him, not trying to establish their own righteousness, but out of a loving relationship with Christ, who says, "These are my commandments. They aren't your commandments to make yourself look good. These are my commandments. They must be received from me. They must be done in love for me." How we all need to be convicted too often of taking the commandments and trying to use them to build ourselves up, to advance ourselves, when really they should drive us to Christ, the lawgiver. And a third group of people, are those who don't care about Christ's commandments. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them." If you don't care about Christ's commandments in the hands of the Savior telling you how to live, you're showing you have no love for Christ. And what more awful place is there to be and destitute of love for Christ? Oh, that Christ as lawgiver would show that we have no right to think ourselves free to love and to live how we would. Oh, that Christ would bring us low, would bring you low through the very law that you are despising. So the believer loves Christ as lawgiver. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. But secondly, Christ is the only begotten Son. And this relationship of love is crowned, it's confirmed. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. What a glorious thought this is. That not just as lawgiver, not just as the sovereign one telling us how to live, but as the one who was in the bosom of the Father from all eternity. He is the one that the believer loves. He is the one whom the Father loves and the believer loves, and their love meet in the person of Christ, the only begotten Son. What a glorious thing it is to share a love with the Father himself. To have the object of the believer's love to be Christ, and to know that the Father loves his Son. This is right to the heart of the Godhead. From eternity past, there was a love relationship between the Father and the Son in the Holy Spirit. How glorious it is that God sent his Son out of love. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is an eternal mystery. God, as Father, Son, and Spirit, dwelling in a eternally loving relationship. But here, notice what it says. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father. In other words, the way into the enjoyment of the Father's love and to be an object, a recipient of the Father's love is to love the Son. Oh, this is beyond words. And yet, it's throughout John, also in John 17, where it speaks of the unity of the church and the enjoyment of Christ and of the Father's love. So the believer loves Christ as the only begotten Son who brings the believer to enjoy the Father's love. Christ is the only begotten Son. And this love for him has that glorious eternal aspect. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Who are those who love Christ? But those who are chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, to be holy and without blame before him in love. So there's the reaching backward. Before there was any creation, before there was any time, where the love of the Father has chosen a person in Christ. What should this do to us but cause us to wonder that such a person as myself, that such a person as you, dear believer, could be an object of God's affection from eternity? It's the most humbling the most wonderful consideration. Yes, Christ is the only begotten Son. He's one of a kind. But oh, that God would choose a family to belong to Christ, to be redeemed by Christ. Those who love Christ as the only begotten Son love Him for His glorious reception of a people from the Father. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And this is the second thing. In time, he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. To have a love for Christ worked in time, worked in our lives. In John chapter 6, we read, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and he that cometh to me I shall in no wise cast out." But what is that coming to Christ? What is that being drawn to Him? Well, it's hearing His word. It's being led to believe in Him. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. And how is this love worked? Oh, beloved congregation, this love is worked by the Holy Spirit through the preaching. You hear Him. You hear what He has done. And you need Him for it to be well with you. You cast yourself upon Him. He that loves me. Oh, to love Christ as the only begotten Son. What does that mean for you? Well, first, there's no one like Him. There's no one like Him. You can think of people with certain character traits. You can even think of your family members, and they all have shared traits with all the differences that exist as well. And these are the people you love. These are the people that are surrounding you, and yet you think of Christ, and He's one of a kind. There's no one like Him. Oh, to have that maintained and to have that brought to our soul, that who is like my Savior? Who is like the only begotten Son? Who is like the one who has called me and drawn me and saved me? Beloved congregation, there's no one like Christ. He is the only begotten. He is the one who is altogether lovely. Do you love Him? But then another thing is that He is altogether faithful. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Christ was faithful in all things. Christ came to do His Father's will, and He did it. And because He did it to the absolute uttermost, He can say that those who love me will be loved of my Father. My Father received my work, and now He will reveal His love, and His love is shown to those He gave me. Christ is faithful. He is the Son who did His Father's bidding perfectly. and for doing so, he has received his people. Oh, to love Christ as the one who is altogether unique and as the one who is altogether faithful. But then Christ as the only begotten Son is also the one who is forming a people like himself. He is bringing many sons to glory. He can say, I and those whom thou hast given me. He that loves me shall be loved of my Father. Why? Because those will be like Christ. We read of it in John chapter 1, where we hear of the adoption. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, but of God. Likeness to Christ. God delights, he loves those whom Christ is forming and making like himself. So Christ is the only begotten Son. And we don't get into the inter-Trinitarian. That is God who he is. But do you love Christ as the unique, one of a kind? As the one who is faithful in his saving work, his redemptive calling. He carried it out absolutely to finish it. And he is the one who has Lord over all, with that name that is above every name, is making his people like himself. Well, this brings us then to our last point. Christ is the revealer of love, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And here we see the work specifically of Christ through the Spirit. He speaks earlier of giving the Comforter who will abide with him forever. And it's very interesting that Christ here speaks of loving the person who loves him and manifesting himself to him when he's getting ready to depart. We say, how will he manifest himself when he's getting ready to go to the cross and he's getting ready to enter into glory? Well, into the hearts of God's dear people, the Spirit pours forth the love of Christ. I will love him. I will manifest myself to him. There is the internal witness of the Spirit revealing Christ as the dearly beloved to the soul of his child. But how does this actually happen? Well, it's most of all through the preaching of the gospel and in the Word of God that this manifestation takes place. I will manifest myself to him. He will hear the glad tidings of salvation. He will hear the wonderful work of resurrection. Person will hear the calling of the Christian life, the glory of the Church of Jesus Christ. Through the preaching of the gospel, Christ is set forth, manifesting himself in the garments of preaching, in the pages of Scripture. And this is what's so beautiful about the public worship of God, that it's Christ being placarded in the congregation, Christ being set forth as the one who is worthy, as the one who has come, as the one who has conquered. Oh, the beauty of a Christ-centered ministry. Oh, the sufficiency of a Christ-centered ministry. You don't need anything else. Oh, the power of a Christ-centered ministry. I will manifest myself to him. He doesn't need to be helped, doesn't need to be assisted by men or by humans. It's the sovereign work of Christ showing himself through the Word of God. But you say not everyone sees. Not everyone believes. Well, this is the hidden side. The Spirit of God must give the illumination. It will be foolishness. The preaching of the cross will be foolishness. The preaching of Christ will be foolishness to those who are perishing. But to those who are being saved, it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. I will manifest myself to him. Oh, how we need to pray. Spirit of God, open blind eyes. Spirit of God, soften hard hearts. Spirit of God, take the obstinate and stubborn and make them willing in the day of your power. But when hearts are opened, when the cold is dispelled through the Holy Spirit, and room is made for the precious Savior, a person experiences, I will love him. Oh, the love of Christ. The love of Christ. The love of Christ. I will love him. So love is used a lot, and quite often it's impure. It's imperfect. It's impermanent. But love for Christ, and Christ's love for his people, is pure, it's permanent, and it's beyond anything we experience here below. Do you love Christ? Amen.